Right now, you're listening to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast, the podcast where I, Azeem, talk to some of the top marketers in the industry, find out everything about them, how they got to where they are today, and more importantly, sharing some really useful marketing tips that will help everybody listening to this become better marketers. Stay tuned for another great episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. I am really excited for this episode because we're talking all about bringing live events back, and especially one of the biggest events in the UK, fingers crossed at the time of recording, is coming back in person. So my guest today, I'm sure many of you know who he is. He's Kelvin Newman, the founder of Rough Agenda, a company that arranges specialist digital marketing events, including Brighton SEO, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And if you don't know who Kelvin is, in 2014, he was voted by eConsultancy as the most influential individual in digital. And in 2013, won the Search Personality Award at the UK Search Awards. Kelvin, welcome to the show.
Hello, and thanks for having me along. It was always interesting when you hear your bios back of things you did in the past that were quite impressive that you sort of have half forgotten about, but were in the bio that you use. So yeah, it's good to be along today. Fantastic.
You deserve all the accolades that you can get, my friend. You do a lot for the industry, so these are just a small way of the industry saying thank you. How are you, Kelvin?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, keeping busy, and yeah, back from a slightly damp bike ride. So yeah, we're all good on that front, though.
Good stuff. I won't talk too much today. Personally, as you will have known from our email exchange, I was a little bit worried if this was going to happen today because I've very recently been vaccinated, and on the day of the vaccination, I was super tired. Had to have a nap in the day, and then I slept for 10 hours, which is the equivalent of 2 days sleep for me. So there's lots of caffeine in my body and I'm going to stay silent. Before we get into this episode talking about bringing back live events and bringing back Brighton SEO, I always ask guests an icebreaker. And for yourself, I would love to know if you could share something that you didn't understand about the world when you were a child.
It's an interesting one. I mean, maybe it's not kind of quite as grand and philosophical as the world, but certainly thinking of things I didn't understand as I was kind of, as I came back from a bike ride. Just now, I was thinking about the question as I was out, and I suddenly was reminded of how I couldn't really work out how gears worked on bikes for a long time. So really into my riding now, and particularly into the climbing of hills. So like, that's the bit I'm particularly, I enjoy the most when I'm on a ride is going up the hills. And there's even kind of competitions that I've done in the past, which is kind of hill climbing, where you're kind of racing just up the hill for 5 minutes or so. For a long time, when I was first, a teenager with a bike with gears, I got it the wrong way around in my head. So kind of thought that as you were going uphill, it was meant to be harder. So what I would do would be change into the harder gears to make it harder for going up the hills. And then rather than the other way, so like the reverse of what you're supposed to do. So you're supposed to press the buttons on your bike and make it get easier. And I think in a strange sort of way, that's helped me out over the years. So that I kind of was used to climbing up hills in a much harder gear than I really had to. So that's definitely something in the past that I completely didn't understand. But you know, in a weird sort of way, worked out in a roundabout sort of fashion.
That is really interesting. You must definitely have been the strongest youngster in your group of friends, for sure. But yeah, look, let's talk all about events, Brighton SEO, bringing Brighton SEO back. Let's start right from the very beginning. So for anybody who doesn't know about Brighton SEO, would you mind sharing an introduction into not only the event, but also yourself as well? Mm.
Yeah, so my background is in search marketing. I kind of like still describe myself as a search marketer, though realistically I'm probably more of an events organizer. And yeah, I was working for a digital marketing agency called Site Visibility, who are based in Brighton and been going 15 odd years, something like that now. And I was working for them and had spoken at a few SEO conferences. I spoke at the very first SMX in London. And after, having attended an SES, which was another event around about that sort of period of time that was organised, I thought it'd be good fun, and a few people had organised some informal meetups in Brighton that were just kind of, if you work in Brighton and you work in SEO, let's go for a beer. And I sort of picked up the mantle of that and sort of started arranging some talks going with that. So that was in the upstairs room of a pub, and we tell that kind of version of the story quite a lot. But yeah, it was a few people meeting in this kind of upstairs room of the pub. We had a few talks, people enjoyed it. More people showed up than we had seats. So we booked a bigger venue, and then more people showed up than we had seats, and kind of went through this whole series, particularly early on, of kind of finding a venue, being too big for it, moving to the next one. And yeah, that's kind of where the event sort of like found its feet. And you know, now it's, you know, in pre-COVID times, we're getting like 5,000 people from 50 different countries twice a year to come to Brighton SEO. Huge demand for the free tickets that we offer. And, you know, we also sell a huge number of tickets as well. So Brighton SEO is a really interesting one. Like the business model is kind of like a fascinating one for events as well. But we're kind of like definitely by like the largest number of attendees, specialist search event in the world, and even kind of we sell more tickets than like the next biggest event as well. So yeah, it's a you know, it kind of has grown from this kind of very informal group of people getting together to learn from each other and have a good time, and kind of we've tried to keep as much of that as we can whilst becoming, you know, a more serious organized event with a growing reputation. And yeah, we try to keep as much of that kind of, you know, starting, you know, principle as we can. And yeah, it seems to go down well. And yeah, people are very kind of responsive, and we're really fortunate. There's a great community that wants it to do well. And kind of, we're just able to sort of like, you know, it's like a virtuous circle, right? So sort of everyone benefits. And
yeah.
So yeah. We're very fortunate to have an event that is very popular with people, but we're very lucky because the community wants it to happen. So it kind of all sort of benefits each other in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me be, you know, one of person number 9 million or however many people have congratulated you on the incredible success of the event. It's definitely one of the focal points of the events calendar. Well, now two times, of course. You mentioned COVID there during your point. So I'd love to ask you from an organizer's point of view, pre-COVID, everything is in place for another event, and then all of a sudden the pandemic comes. What challenges did you face, and how did you manage to turn such a large in-person event into a virtual event?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kind of events organisers have been through this journey, and yeah, it's not a kind of super unusual one. But yeah, we were scheduled to have an event in April 2019, which would have been our like 10th anniversary event. Like our first event was 10 years prior to that in February, but you know, so that would have been our 10th first event after our 10th anniversary. And yeah, it was kind of all set to go, lots of tickets sold, full speaker program, programmed, and all very much kind of lined up, ready to go. It became relatively like the nature of like having a network of people who I know who were organizing events, was aware of the dangers of what was going on relatively early, to be completely honest, because I've got some quite close business friends who organize events in Singapore, which were kind of, you know, affected quite a lot earlier than events here. So kind of it was on my radar that we were definitely going to be affected in some way, shape or form. Initially, we just assumed it was likely to mean that we would need to have some kind of mitigations in place. So things like, you know, reduced handshaking, you know, hand sanitizer, that sort of type of thing, that at that point in time felt like it might be sufficient to kind of deal with what was going to be required at that point in time. But increasingly it was becoming apparent that you know, we might need to cancel the event, but it all happened quite quickly. So we kind of were putting in place our plan to postpone rather than cancel, actually probably is the better way of putting it. And yeah, we'd kind of reached a decision that we needed to do, but it was tricky about like there was this gap between when we had to and wanted to, but kind of it all, because there was dangers of kind of like being liable for all of the expenses that you would have incurred and all that kind of stuff. So there was a bit of like wrangling whilst we tried to kind of get our way through that. But yeah, we decided, I forget the precise date now, but when we decided we were going to postpone, it was the same day that the Premier League also cancelled all their events as well, of matches. And it all kind of like over a period of like, I don't know, 64 hours, it became, you know, we made the right decision, but we would have had to have made that decision anyway, if that makes sense. So yeah, it was kind of very much there. But in terms of our original plan was, well, let's roll as much of that forward to October as we possibly can, which would have been when the next in-person event was. And again, that was one where we were kind of like optimistic, but there was, of course, inevitably some likelihood that it could be affected still. Last summer, the plan was that events would be possible to come back in the autumn, but we didn't get too far along the journey of, you know, it was a good sort of 8 weeks out from that being the case that it became apparent that was going to need to be would be impossible to be a live in-person event as well. And we were already in place that that was going to be a hybrid event, and we'd kind of got a lot of the technology lined up and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was relatively easy to transfer over. And we're very fortunate that, again, the community themselves are very, you know, familiar and confident using online technology. So it wasn't a hard shift to do to make that move across. And we've been surprised how popular our online events have been. So we've launched a series of additional ones as well that took place, which were kind of smaller scale summit ones. So we were kind of like doing small events in order to find out what would work for the big event. And yeah, it seemed to work quite well. Obviously, it achieved some different outcomes, I think, to an in-person event. But it's been interesting seeing how kind of, yeah, the international scope of the audience for our online events is significant, because there's lots of people who it's going to be very, you know, always would have been hard to travel to the UK to visit the event. So that's been really exciting. There's people who perhaps might not be able to come for a variety of other reasons, like childcare and all that kind of thing, that can sometimes make it a little bit more tricky to travel to events. So yeah, we've been kind of pleased about that as a, you know, things that have come out of that. And I think like the good news is, I think all events, you know, we're very keen to be back to in-person events as much as possible, as soon as possible, but I certainly think there's a lot that we've learned along the way there that will mean that we have kind of online elements more that allow that greater, broader access of people to participate and learn from the event. And also, in a strange way, like having a bit of time off from the event has kind of reinvigorated, you know, us as the organizers of the events. You know, it's kind of quite easy when you're on this kind of every 6 months you're doing something new, is it can, you know, you'll do it because you want to do it and you're excited about it, and there's elements of it that are, you know, like you're keen and ready to go, but it is kind of like quite a commitment. So actually being prevented from doing them, you know, rightly so, like it's kind of given me particularly, but I think the whole team, are kind of like a reappreciation of what we do and why we do it and why we love it and why we got to, why it started, if you see what I mean, which I think hopefully will, yeah, give us the chance that when we are able to do it, we'll be more grateful than perhaps we would have been in the past, and like more excited to do it. And I think it will give us, I hope, a real new lease of life. And I hope that also for the attendees as well, there'll be similar kind of feelings as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And as someone who has had the pleasure of speaking at some of these virtual events and also attending them, it's been brilliant. The setup has been brilliant. Obviously, as you mentioned, you can't really replicate an in-person event behind a computer screen. But from an attendee and from a speaker's point of view, it's been brilliant. And as you've seen the buzz on social media when people are sharing their screen grabs of, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people signed up for your talk, it really hits home that there are still people interested who you might not be able to engage with as much, but still there are still people interested in the event and the content, which is insane. So let's fast forward. May 2021, UK vaccination program is going really well, I'm pleased to say. And Brighton SEO has plans to come back in person. Now, I'm sure you will experience this to a much larger scale than I have experienced, but a lot of people are looking at this as maybe one of the first events to come back in person. So, love to know, what are the plans for this year's Brighton SEO?
Well, the biggest one is we're changing venue, kind of connected to. So the Brighton Centre, which is our usual regular venue, is currently a vaccine centre. And in fact, actually, my wife is there as we are recording this, having her vaccine done. So that, you know, has changed from that side of things. So we're moving along to the Hilton Metropole, which is kind of a very famous hotel in Brighton, and also a very large conference space. It's kind of an interesting one that, like, you kind of go in this relatively small front area if you're kind of going into the hotel, but there's this huge area at the back, which has multiple stages, none of which are quite as large as the main auditorium one at the Brighton Centre. But basically, if you were to move, like, Auditorium 2, which is like the second largest space, and there is a space that's bigger than that in there, and like, so basically it's about, yeah, you know, like the total capacity is about 2/3 each of the rooms of the ones there. So that's a big plan, but we've kind of gone over 2 days, so our view is that, you know, partially necessitated by the venue, but also just generally thinking that kind of, it, you know, there might be the need to spread people out over a longer period of time, is that we're kind of going over 2 days. So that's going to be one of the big changes there. the traditional paid for tickets that we've got. So the training tickets, the friends tickets that we do, which are kind of your VIP tickets, they'll get everyone access to both days of the conference. Then the plan is that the ballot, which is traditionally the one that is the hugely sold out 10,000 applications for, you know, 2,000 tickets that we're going to do, providing that there's no dramatic changes in the capacity expectation that the government allow, we're going to release ballot tickets that go for each of those 2 days. So we'll actually be able to release more ballot tickets because, you know, not everyone will be able to get 2 full days, but like the view is that actually we'll be able to invite more people because it's spread over 2 days there. And that'll allow also the friends to see, like the friends ticket holders to see more talks as well. So yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting. And also that's sort of a direction that we've been considering heading in anyway. Just because, particularly for international attendees, which we don't think we're going to be getting a lot of for July, just because of the nature of where we're at. But longer term, it's kind of very tricky for people to make the journey for a single day, particularly internationally. So our hope is by going multi-day over multiple days with training, with fringe conferences, with other things we're longer term hoping to bring into the event as well, it'll allow people that we won't expect everyone to be there for the full duration of the event, but we'll allow people to kind of go, well, here's what I really want to learn from. Here's the chance we can do that. But also give people that there'll be more going on. So if you want to kind of do things outside of the conventional sit in a room and listen to someone talk, there's going to be a greater opportunity to do that longer term as well. So yeah. So in July, we're kind of at the moment working on, it's still a little bit kind of government guidelines are kind of being confirmed. We're expecting... assuming that the roadmap is as it's expected to be at the point in time we're at, is all restrictions are meant to be removed a good 4 weeks ahead of the event taking place. But we're expecting that kind of like the football, like the theatres and the like, there'll be the scope to for everyone in the UK to get a free lateral flow test beforehand. So we're expecting that most people will either, if they've not vaccinated, and maybe even if they are vaccinated, will take a lateral flow test before attending, and if they're negative on that, that will kind of like give them the confidence that they're you know, in a good place on that. And then the reality is that the hope is that like prevalence in the community is going to be significantly lower by that point in time, that actually these types of events are all very safe. So plus, you know, other mitigations in terms of trying to spread the flow of the number of people coming through, and, you know, a little bit about kind of logistics in the venue, trying to accommodate that as well. But yeah, it's interesting in as much as like the UK events industry have been doing these trial events, which most of them have been in Liverpool, but there's been other ones as well. Like the Brit Awards, where it was at the O2, there's been the Crucible snooker as well. So there's been a lot going on where people are testing these out, and they're actually kind of going, well, even at the point at which prevalence then was higher now than it will be in 8 weeks from now, they're testing to see, well, what was the impact of events. And, you know, it's hard to know precisely what that's going to be the case, but we're very like, they're all, it's about kind of risk mitigation at that point in time. And the reality is, by the point at which Brighton SEO is scheduled to take place, it's very likely the vast majority of UK adults will have had the opportunity to have that first dose, which obviously changes the game quite dramatically in terms of like personal risk for anyone attending. And the hope is that by that point in time, that it's so uncommon that, you know, it's a very different situation to where we're at, have been in the past, and hopefully it'll feel very normal. It's going to be the first one. It's going to obviously not feel exactly the same as I think it would be. You know, I think there's a huge value in, you know, organizing events. We're a big believer in what they can do and the energy that they can bring to the people who are participating. And we kind of accept that there's going to be people who, you know, it'll be too early for them. You know, that's not, something that they feel comfortable doing. And there's going to be an online version of the event. So like, you can do exactly what you would have done anywhere if we were doing an online event. So you can learn in just the way you would have done if the event wasn't an in-person event as well. But it is going to give the scope for those that are kind of are more comfortable or are in a slightly different place philosophically about it, or that they'll get the opportunity as well. And also there's kind of a bit of a, you know, from my point of view, is events, there's the events industry we've been quite fortunate because we've been able to do the online events that kind of, as a business, we've been like relatively stable in that period of time. But the events industry, so lots of our suppliers, our AV providers, our, you know, the technicians, the all the kind of people around that have been in a very challenging situation. We're kind of keen to try and, you know, start things again as soon as it's safe and feasible to do so, because, you know, like, the events industry needs events. So we're kind of keen to try and do that if we can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant answer. You've answered my next couple of questions really well. So I just wanted to touch on 2 points there. And it's mainly, they'll be themed around two things. So number one, overseas participants who cannot enter the country for obvious reasons, what's the best way that they can take part? And then number two, you touched on it briefly there. In the event things take a turn for the worse in terms of positive cases and potential local lockdowns, what would be the plan B?
Well, the plan B is plan A as well. So there will, 2 weeks after the event, every talk that has been delivered at the event will be available in a very similar format to our online event that we did in October. So we're asking every speaker who attends the event to, we're not recording the live ones, actually. We're kind of getting it because we think that, like, that's isn't quite as good as actually the kind of heads up format that we've been using for those events. So every speaker will deliver a talk in July, but they'll also produce a video recording of their talk as well that will be available via the online platform that we've used in the past. So it's Hay Summit that we use for that. So we think that's going to be incredibly useful for people internationally who are unable to attend, if there's local lockdowns and people aren't able to attend for those reasons. But we actually think it'll be really useful even for the people who did attend, because one of the things that kind of we know we're doing a good job programming when people are kind of like, oh, I want to go to that talk and that talk at the same time and all that kind of thing. We like that because it means we're doing good programming, but it is a bit of a kind of like a missed opportunity, right? Because there are people who would like to learn more. So what we're kind of doing there is that everyone who gets a friend's ticket is going to be able to watch all of those videos on demand whenever they like, that they've got the scope to do that. But even if they've just got a normal ballot ticket, a free one, they don't want to spend any money, they'll, if there's a particular talk they there were two on at the same time that they really wanted to see, they can watch a video one as well. So, you know, that's going to hopefully allow people to do that. So we're almost kind of organizing two events, an in-person event and an online event. And kind of that's deliberate because some people have tried to do hybrid ones where they're kind of almost streaming it live on the day and all of that kind of thing. And we thought there's obviously some benefits to that. But we actually think for the people who have attending who might have missed a talk or want to refer back, or, you know, or just kind of like, you know, had to take a phone call for a, you know, whatever, missed that one particular talk, this actually will hopefully be a really nice way that they're going to benefit as well. So yeah, for people who can't attend for whatever reason, and that does give us a huge opportunity, as you know, like from our perspective, it means that it's kind of a hedged bet as well. So if for whatever reason it does become apparent that events aren't possible to host, which we really hope won't be the case, and we really, you know, there's all of the indications are, you know, there's news every day that's good and bad, but kind of the general point of direction is that, you know, the events should be possible at that point in time. So yeah, we're working ahead on that being the assumption, but we're not kind of like preventing ourselves from being able to do that online event as well. So yeah, we're kind of hopefully covering both bases.
Top stuff. Thank you very much. And then the last couple of questions from me, and you've kind of touched on this already, but if I could say elevator pitch version, if there is somebody still listening to this who is probably still unsure or on the fence about attending the event, what assurances would you be able to give them?
Well, I mean, I think the reality is that there's a huge amount of research being done or has been done and is in the process of being shared about what can be done to improve the safety of events. So we think it's going to be very safe for that reason, because the guidelines are going to reflect that based upon events much, much larger scale than Brighton SEO, and with a much greater variety of kind of people participating in. So that's kind of like, it's going to be built upon that. So it's there. And also I would say that one of the things that is really interesting, like kind of sociologically, you know, kind of where we're at the moment is time and expectation of what's appropriate, and in both directions changes quite dramatically, and what feels very normal now versus 6 weeks ago versus 12 weeks ago is quite interesting. So it's kind of like, I do think, like, you know, what I would say to people is every step that's going to be, we want the event to be as fun and as safe and as, you know, practical as we possibly can, but equally things will be different in you know, in the 2 months when the event takes place. And also there's the flexibility that you could wait, you know, like, so don't feel like that there's, you know, the what feels kind of appropriate and, you know, the right sort of what, you know, what feels how we feel about things now, I think will be very different in 6 weeks time, from where we're at and, you know, 6 weeks on from that. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting one from that perspective. So, you know, from my kind of point of view is, I think events are safe. I think we will be doing all we can to make it as even safer than events would normally be. And hopefully there's all the benefits that you would get from an in-person event that I think would be very good, but equally don't feel compelled that, like, you know, that you have to, because you can, there's the online version of the event that's going to be great as well. So that's kind of what I would say to people is, like, if, you know, if you feel comfortable, if you're excited about that, you know, come along, it's going to be great. But if not, don't worry. It's like the event will be back again every 6 months. And there's an online version that's going to be very, very similar and very, very high quality as well. So yeah, there's hopefully all the bases covered.
I was just about to say that exact phrase. You've covered all the bases there. Top stuff. Right, let's end on a positive then. This conference for me was my very first speaking event. So again, thank you very much for having me. Hopefully I didn't put down your attendance numbers. But yeah, this conference is very good at giving first-time speakers the opportunity to come practice their public speaking, but more importantly, share their knowledge as well. And on a personal note, when I first started, I was very honoured to be mentored by Aleida Solis, a brilliant, very well-known in the industry, and I'm sort of paying it forward. I'm nowhere near on the same level as her, by the way. Let me just make that clear. I'm very privileged to be paying it forward and speaking to some of these first-time speakers. By the time this episode goes out, I think I will have spoken to about maybe five. They're all really, really excited about speaking at this event. But I think it would be better coming from you to hear what advice you could give to somebody who is going to be speaking for the very first time at Brighton SEO.
Yeah, so I mean, we pride ourselves on, you know, bringing through new talent. And that, you know, some of that is kind of like practically useful for us. Like, we want there to be as many new voices as possible. And, you know, I'm very much in the belief that just because you've delivered, you know, 8 talks in the past doesn't mean that you're the best person to be delivering, you know, talks for the next 10, 15 years. Now, that's not to say that people who haven't delivered talks in the past won't do good talks again. That's fine. But there's just such a great variety of talented professionals in the search industry that, like, as a conference organizer, you're going to want as many different people as possible. So, yeah, we're kind of always keen and encourage people to put themselves forward to speak at the event, because I think that that's, you know, good to do. But my advice for kind of people starting out the first time is, yeah, feel confident because you got selected. Lots of people don't. So, like, at the very least, that's like you've done a good job there in getting selected. You're already in a really strong place. But yeah, I think a lot of it's about kind of just planning and preparing and thinking about what people are going to need and want. And from what people want from a talk is they want it to be useful. They ideally want it to be hands-on. And like, just that, like, you've considered the talk, and actually, in a strange way, again, this is partly why we often quite like new speakers, is because they do prepare and take it seriously and really want to do a good job. And sometimes the danger is, if people are, you know, this is their 150th speaking engagement, there's a danger they might phone it in. So yeah, I mean, I think that nervousness is good because it means that you care, and, you know, be confident that, like, you've pitched a topic that you know about, and there will be people in the audience who want to learn. And because we're multi-track and because of the nature of the event, people have decided to be at your talk. So they want to hear what you've got to say. It's a very supportive audience. Some will already know and they're there to kind of confirm their experience. Other people will be coming in and it's a completely new topic to them as well. So know that everyone wants you to do well. And I mean, that's one of the great things about our, you know, I think the vibe sounds a bit cheesy, but a big part of, like, kind of, you know, what I really appreciate about the Brighton SEO audience is that they do want new people to do well, and they want them to share, and they want to learn, and that's what we love about our speakers, is that they're prepared to do that.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Kelvin. This has been a really insightful episode. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your presumably very busy planning.
Well, it's going to get busier. We're all right at the moment. It's all that kind of, the very strange thing about this time round is, like, we know there's not, you know, a lot, you're waiting for things to fall into place. So yeah, the you know, the next few weeks will get busier, I imagine. We're not too bad at the moment though.
I've caught you at a good time then. If anybody wants to find out more about the event or about yourself, where can they learn more? Where can they follow you?
The website is brightonseo.com. We use Twitter a lot. So the official like event Twitter account is at brightonseo. My personal account is Kelvin Newman, all one word. And yeah, do come along and yeah, check it out. And you know, I think that you know we're all about helping people learn to do search a bit better. And there's lots of ways that can manifest itself. It's not only in the events, there's the content that's shared around that. And yeah, you know, keep an eye on us because I'm sure there's stuff we'll be able to do that will help people do their job a little bit better, which is what we're trying to do.
Lovely. And then as always, I can't remember if I've prepared you for this or not, so this week will be fun. As always, this is the part of the episode where I once again thank you for being a brilliant guest, but more importantly, shut up and let you have the final word on your episode. So within reason, final word is all yours, Kelvin.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just want to say a big thank you to the community out there as well for kind of supporting our online events as they've come and also in supporting us in coming back. And, you know, we love getting people together and helping them, you know, learn. And, yeah, we're kind of really excited about doing that again because we know that there's this kind of hard to articulate energy that comes from getting a group of people together who are passionate and interested in something. And we can't wait for that to come back in the way it did before, and then learn all that we have done in the last, you know, 12 to 18 months and kind of make things even better.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some brilliant people in this industry. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow me on Spotify. Please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you are using. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and hopefully see you for the next episode.